This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Your Friend Jim, The Foundation. And James Wynn joins us now on Indie Book Publishing. This interview brought to you by Balboa Press. Hello, Jim.
Hey, Steve. How you doing?
Great to have you with us. And we're going to learn a lot about the power of the mind, the power of the spirit. There's so much involved here. And you'll give us how this has changed your life. But let me read what you've written about your book in general. You ask this question. Do you want things to shift in your life or to have a greater understanding of how to have whatever it is you desire? If you can answer yes to these two questions, then reading Your Friend Jim, The Foundation, can help you not only answer those questions, but help you achieve what you truly want. I think everyone wants to have whatever it is we desire. You can literally help us do that?
Yes, Steve. The book itself definitely discusses in pretty good detail how a person can go from where they are to what they really want to achieve in life. And there are just some basic principles that I outline in there that can definitely help them. It helps a person definitely tap the deep resources of their mind, their subconscious to be specific, and then understanding how to apply these, I would say, natural laws of the universe to take advantage of. And it's just simple steps that a person can take that will lead them there. And that's what I outline in the book.
Well, let's first learn about you, Jim, your background, and how this type of thinking and these practicing this type of philosophy has changed your life.
Well, it really started, I would say, well over a decade ago, Steve, when I was actually flat broke at the time, and I didn't know what to do or where to turn. And then one day, my wife, Michelle, she read me a book, and it was in German. She had to translate it as she read, and it was about a guy who basically came to America with nothing, and he left a multimillionaire. And at the time, that's exactly what I wanted. I was like, hey, if this guy can do it, I can do it. So I started really diving into just about any kind of self-help book you can possibly think about, from the Bible all the way up to, I would say, Napoleon Hill and some of the other great authors. And I found that there is a string, so to speak, that links all the great successes together. It is absolutely true if one can do that. So, to make a long story short, I started tapping into these resources and applying it, things started to move very rapidly in my life. I went, you know, like I said, going from nothing to something within a very few years just by looking at these simple principles. Well, let's see. The mind. Whatever, and this is the true statement, what you think about, you will become. That is something that is in every philosophy, every great teacher, every great leader in the world. They all have said this one thing. They disagree on everything, but that they agree on. What you think about will come about. Now, that's very profound. What is it that you want? And for me, I wanted success. Not just material gain, but spiritual wealth, physical well-being, relationships. What is it for you? And these were the questions that I started asking myself. And I found that when I worked on one area, another area just kind of came along with it. How interesting. So I kept applying this even more. And as I went further and further, and I started getting deeper and deeper into these things, into these studies, I started seeing very profound results. Then I started, you know, learning more about what the mind is, and I started studying. I started reading books on psychology. I started going into different schools, different teachings, anybody, any mentor that had any kind of value on this. So as I continued to grow, naturally, I started helping other people. And there's a fine line between teacher and learner, because I found that what you teach, you learn more about. So I started going in further and further. And then one day, I woke up, and I was living the exact life that I envisioned just a few years earlier. And that was proof to me that it just kind of happened naturally. See, in the Bible, Christ said, when you pray, believe that you will receive, and you will receive. That's really it. If you can believe in the end result as if it's already happened, guess what? Your subconscious mind does not know the difference between reality or a vividly felt image. It will always try and fulfill the image in your mind. It did it for me. It did it for me. It did it for the masters of the world, and it can do it for anybody. You just got to know those fundamental principles that take a person from A to Z. And I hope that answered your question, Steve.
Yes, well, very well. And is this what the law of attraction is all about?
Well, a law of attraction is really a secondary law. It's the primary law is more of a law of vibration. We're all vibrating. And there's, you know, we have sound, we have light, we have just about anything you can think about is on a vibration. Well, the law of attraction is actually vibrating too. And that's based on our feelings. So the law of attraction is probably, well, it is a very powerful law. But, you know, I've watched a lot of the movies and I read a lot of the books on it, but I was talking about this principle years ago before any of things came out, because they were talking about it for hundreds of years. And basically it's birds of a feather flock together. You know, it's just the simplest way of putting it.
Mm-hmm.
Law of attraction, if it's activated and if it's worked correctly, can absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, lead a person step by step into what they really want in life. But see, we have to understand what the law of attraction is. Remember, like attracts like. So if you're coming from wanting, which if you look at the definition of want, it means you lack something. But that's a feeling, and that's a vibration. So you have to remove that feeling of lack and limitation, that wanting. And if you can sit there and have that feeling of believing that you've already received it, guess what? It, like unadulterated magic, and it does seem that way, it just shows up in your life. It's already there, because now you're at a vibrating match with the thing that you desired, so to speak. And that's kind of the law of attraction in a nutshell.
Well, you're a great teacher. You can tell that you're a teacher. You call yourself a teacher of universal laws. You also you're a certified hypnotherapist. Now, is hypnosis an important part of this kind of thinking and this kind of a process?
For me, it was. Hypnosis is really a tool used to create suggestibility for the mind, allowing you to rid yourself of inhibitions that could be holding you back in life. Now, when I sit there and I can sit there and I can look at a person, I can sit there and say, well, you know, you're using about 10 or 12% of your mind. And then usually the majority of people cop out and they say, yep, I'm only using 10 or 12% of my mind. And they're actually happy with that. Well, that means you're 10 or 12% efficient. What if you could tap the deeper resources of who you really are? You see, hypnosis is just a tool that helps break habits or mindsets. Now, a mindset is formed or a habit is formed so fast that it's like the speed of light. It's how fast it is. And here's an example of what I mean. Usually, you know, you've heard of the saying, first impressions mean everything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the truth. I mean, if I was to walk in and my first impression of somebody, if they're well-dressed, and say they're coming for an interview or something, if they're well-dressed and they present themselves well, I will size them up within usually the first 30 seconds. We all do. Mm-hmm. And that first impression will carry forward over and over. Well, that's really how the mind works. Either we're going to accept that or we're going to reject it. You could walk into a room and all of a sudden you see a person. You either like them or dislike them right away, because language itself is about 93% unspoken. So we have to look at the whole picture. So hypnosis as a tool, and it is a tool, can help bring a person from their habits that they hold now, especially negative habits. Like here's an example. Let's just say, for instance, you were told as a child that talking to strangers was bad. Well, as a kid, that worked out fine for you. But as an adult, that habit, that mindset, might not work. You have to reach out. You have to get help. But we still hold on to that belief, and that's tough to change, because we sit there and look at that belief that, well, Mom and Dad said talking to strangers is bad. So mm-hmm. we have to bypass that. And if you can, using the tools of hypnosis or self-suggestion, or I call it, you know, looking in the mirror or whatever, anything you can possibly think of to change that habit of, I would say, these negative reinforcers to now to one of positive works in your life, you'll see vast changes very quickly. And that goes with everything in your life. That goes from what you're earning financially in your wealth. That's in your relationships. That's in your physical well-being. I mean, I think anybody who's ever can attest that by just quitting smoking, it's a living nightmare. It's like, my God, what you go through. Well, that's all habit, but your nicotine is out of your body within 24 hours. The rest is all psychological. It's habit. Hmm. So your paradigm is really a group of habits that make up your world. That's all a paradigm really is. It's just a bunch of mindsets, a group of habits. That makes you who you are. And as you start shifting your mindset, your new habits to positive, reinforcing ways of life, your old paradigm or your old group of habits will start holding on, and it will try and hold you down. Now, that's just not individually. That affects everyone around you. That's your friends. That's your families. That's your work environment. That's everything. As you start shifting, remember, 93% is unspoken. All of a sudden, they start recognizing something different. They don't know what it is, and all of a sudden, they start trying to pull you down. See, it's easier to pull someone down than pull someone up. So they start saying, hey, what's going on here? And they start pulling you down. At that moment in time, you should be glad, because now you know and you're making progress. And as you keep making that progress towards your goal or vision or whatever the life it is that you want, these are the subtle signs that are sitting there and coming up that is showing you that you're moving forward. So hypnosis as a tool, for me, was invaluable.
Well, your book is, as you put it, written simply. It's not a big book. It's something, though, that you can learn literally from every page.
Absolutely. Each page offers a solution to where a person is. Now, I've worked with thousands of people, and really, the big thing is a person is not really loving themselves. They're having usually a poor self-image based on habits. If they can change that image, and it can be done, then what will happen is this new life will start presenting itself. See, the thing is, I call it the magic 30. Now, this principle has been taught a lot, but it works. And I'll give this to the listeners today. If a person was to sit there, well, let's just say 30 minutes prior to going to bed and 30 minutes upon awaking, what they do is they imagine in their mind the desired life they wish to have, whatever that may be. They could have, you know, a more prosperous job, a better relationship, whatever it is. But they really get a good image of that what that looks like in their mind. And they go over it and over it. Now they can write it down, because writing it down is an idiomotor response. It's a direct line into the subconscious neural system. They can do that. That could be faster, whatever works for that person. But here's an example, and maybe you can answer this, Steve. Now, have you ever tried, before going to sleep at night, and you said to yourself, I need to wake up at 5. Mm-hmm. I need to wake up
sure,
at 5.
Sure.
And you woke up at 5.
Right, right, exactly.
Well, now my next question would be is, what else can you do?
Good.
If you can do that, what else can you tell your mind to work on while you sleep that will bring you to those being at the right place at the right time, doing the right things at the right time, and going, wow, this is just amazing. How is this happening? It's an automatic response, because we got used to a pattern. We put our pants on the same way. If I was to go in and put my pants on a different way, I'd probably fall down. But if I do it, I do things a certain way. But as the moment you start shifting that image, remember, the subconscious does not know the difference between a vividly felt image or reality. It has to fulfill the images of the mind. So that's kind of what's talked about in this book. And just by doing those steps, I call it the Magic 30, you'll see results very quickly.
Well, it all makes sense, Jim. We appreciate you being with us so much on Indie Book Publishing. This book, obviously, is a treasure for all those who want to make a big change in their lives. So, Jim, tell us how to get your book, Your Friend Jim, The Foundation.
You can go to yourfriendjim.com, BalboaPress.com, Amazon, or Barnes & Noble's, and you can get a copy there.
Thank you, Jim, for being with us.
Oh, no problem.
And this interview has been brought to everyone by Balboa Press.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Get ready to live La Bella Vita with Dawn Catherine on Toginet.com. Live La Bella Vita. If you're wanting to know all the beauty tricks of the trade and the latest fashion trends before everyone else, this is your show. If you admire celebrities' beauty and their fashion sense, this is your show. Do you love wine and want to know more about the process it takes to make wine from the vine to the bottle? This is your show. Live La Bella Vita. For more on the show and your host, check out our website, LaBellaVitaCosmetico.com. This is the kind of show you can sink your teeth into. If you enjoy traveling and food and family, all with an Italian flair, then you can live La Bella Vita with your host, Dawn Catherine. Wednesday nights at midnight, 11 p.m. Central on Toginet.com. Mark Lipinski is coming to Toginet. It's Creative Mojo with Mark Lipinski, a live two-hour show Wednesday afternoon starting at 3, 2 Central on Toginet.com. Creative Mojo. It's fun, entertaining, informative, inspirational, and illuminating. Lipinski has worked on such shows as Oprah, The View, The Joan Rivers Show, and Ricky Lake. He's busy, but he's got the drive to share with Creative Mojo, dedicated to the modern crafter and crafting lifestyle. Dive into the info and enjoy everything from celebs to entertainment news to recipes, quilting and needlework, knitting, painting, woodworking, Christmas crafts, and so much more. This show boldly encourages you to discover and harness your own creative spirit by living creatively every day. For more on Mark and the show, check out marklipinski.com. Don't miss the fun. It's Creative Mojo with Mark Lipinski, Wednesday afternoon starting at 3, 2 Central on Toginet.com. Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Wheel, A Recovery from Chronic Pain and Discovery of New Energy. And the author is Sylvia Hathorn Deppin. And Sylvia joins us now on Indie Book Publishing. This interview brought to you by Balboa Press. Hello, Sylvia.
Hello, Steve.
Great to have you with us. What a great story, a story of determination, a story of discovery, a story of hope, even happiness. It's been a long journey. We're talking about 58 years living in all kinds of pain, chronic pain, didn't know why until the lights came on. Let me read a couple of things you've written, Sylvia, to get everyone thinking with us here. You say this: have you ever wondered why, when two or more people are exposed to similar circumstances, same houses, same bacteria, same nutrition and body types, one person can be stricken by an illness and the other not? I have also wondered why, when two people are diagnosed with the same illness at the same time, one succumbs quickly and the other stays in good health. Well, those two questions are really answered by your life. You have lived it, and you have proven, I guess, the way out of chronic pain.
That's right.
Well, take us back, Sylvia. Let's go back. And when did you first, I mean, how do we begin this story, I guess? That's the best question. How do you like to begin your story?
Well, the book, the big part of the first part of the book is memoirs of growing up in the city. And they were relatively happy childhood years. We lived in the city, and many a time as children and teenagers, we would retreat to the country on our bicycles because our grandparents were on a farm up there, and our own parents didn't have a lot of time for kids. So we were glad to go into the loving arms of grandparents, at least. And it was a wonderful retreat to be able to get out of the city. And as a child, bicycling just became a way of life for me. And as I got older and older, I retreated more and more on the bicycle. And I just tried to escape my life constantly. Until as years grew on, I got sicker and sicker. These years too, I struggled to become a nurse. I grew up with that image in my mind that I was to be a nurse. And so I worked at it diligently, went to nursing school. It was very difficult for me. I quit nursing school. I had only one more year to go, but I was at that point in life where I really had not had to be responsible for myself or make decisions very much for myself. And as it turned out, I was totally in denial in life. I didn't know what was wrong with me, the misery inside of me. And the 1971 was the year, it was probably my first major emotional breakdown that I had. I ended up getting in trouble with a young man who was definitely a sociopath. And we ended up in stolen cars all across the country, just living and drinking and living the wild side. Ended up in Las Vegas several nights, barely slept a single night in a row. So I was getting sicker and sicker with this young man. And we both did end up in jail. I hate to reveal that dark secret about myself. That's what happened. And then I was left off because I was still considered the canary in the choir loft to my parents. I couldn't sing a sour note. So I was left off. I didn't have a record. And the next year, I ended up back in nursing school. And it's in my book. It's such, It's almost ironic that year I went back to nursing school to try to finish was the year that Hurricane Agnes came through Harrisburg and flooded our area. And all that summer, while Harrisburg was in a cleanup process, I rode my bike with the bicycle club. And there was a man named Ed Mood in the club. He was 74, and he had rode his bicycle from Pennsylvania to Florida the year before at that age. And I decided, well, if Ed can ride at 74, I can ride at 24 years old. So that was the summer. And it's in my book, how I went, I knew if I told my family I was going to ride to Florida, they'd lock me up and throw the key away. So I just, I had them help me pack my dad's old delivery car, one of his cars, up with all my stuff in it. And that next day, we, down the road I went, this time by myself without that nasty boyfriend I had. And I got all the way to Orangeburg, South Carolina, which is significant in the book because it's part of why I got in trouble the year before. But Orangeburg, South Carolina, and this whole trip, as I took off, I'm praying to God, just give me a sign that you want me to do this, God. I need a sign to know that you're going to be with me when I ride to Florida. And I got all the way to Orangeburg, and I got my sign. I only have $300 for my trip, and I wanted to get to Naples, Florida. I only have $300, and the car broke down. And I kid you not, the name of the dealership, foreign car dealership, was Bozo's Foreign Cars in Orangeburg, South Carolina. Well, Bozo quoted me $300 to fix his car. And I'm like, no way. So he stored all my stuff in the car back of his fence. I said, I'll be back for it someday. So I took the bike off the back of the car, and the next morning down 301 through Georgia. And it did, it took like 2.5 to 3 weeks to get to Naples, Florida. And it was exciting, scary. I could have died during that trip and I would have been perfectly happy. And then I go on to live down there in Naples, working as a nurse again, and all the while violating myself tremendously. If I could have just told someone at the time what had happened to me, the doctor probably would have been able to talk sense into me.
So all this happened, we won't reveal the details, but all this happened at a young girl. You had some kind of accident or something
tragic
happened.
Tragic accident.
Yeah, and this pain just kept growing and growing and growing.
Worse and worse, yeah, yeah. I was feeding into the problem, and I didn't even know it. Mm-hmm. I didn't associate my work and my behavior with these bad feelings. And many a time to go to work, I had to pump the adrenaline to get on top of it. And I think a lot of people do that. They numb themselves with adrenaline today. Mm-hmm. I notice that. If you go out into society today, you see people that are numbing themselves with activity.
But not only with activity, many like yourself are numbing yourself with narcotics.
That's a big thing today, yeah. We can't seem to get comfortable inside just as we are without numbing with substances. Like when I was with that young man, we were drinking alcohol the whole time. And, of course, our judgment was impaired the whole time. And then when I was working, I was numbing myself with activity. But, yes, and the narcotics that people are getting into today. And I think the miracle of my recovery is that I learned that I can do that naturally by just changing my thought process.
How did you determine finally to say, I'm going to get rid of all these drugs, and you went through this detox 4-day program? I mean, how did you make that big decision?
Well, that was a good many years more down the road, Steve. I ended up coming back to Pennsylvania in, 1977. And I met my husband here. We got married. We had a little girl. I was gifted with a husband that's so patient because I gave him an awful time. I was depressed, severely depressed, since I was about 10 years old. And no one knew it, and it didn't really come out till after we had our daughter. And I got darker and darker inside, and we finally moved into this house here in Harrisburg, and I didn't realize it at the time, but there was definitely a ghost in this house. And I found out later there was a woman that lived here that committed suicide way years ago. And when we moved here, my thoughts became darker and darker until I finally started going to a psychiatrist, and this psychiatrist started treating me with all kinds of, not necessarily narcotics. At first, it was just psychotropic medications. But all this time, too, I was still drinking. And the drinking became worse and worse. I'd pick up. It would get to where I'd wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and start drinking again. Finally, in 1994, I almost hit a woman driving drunk. So I just quit drinking cold, you know. And that's when the doctor started putting me on narcotics to numb, tranquilizers and pain medicine. And I went on another, like 10 years, I guess, until 2002. It was getting darker and darker inside. And what happened, someone suggested that I needed to get off all the medication and learn to live life on life's terms. And this is what I did then. My husband took me to the local hospital here, and I detoxed for 4 days in the emergency room. Ended up in a rehab for just a week. But I came home with a new kind of prescription in my pocket. It was a prescription for 12-step meetings. And I want to cry here because my family got so big at that point because there were people in the rooms now that knew me, and I knew them, and there were no secrets anymore. I had to unveil all those secrets and be so honest about my life. They talk in the rooms of rigorous honesty. And rigorous honesty it was.
And that's so important.
It is so important to get down and get dirty and to
be
reveal.
Honest about yourself, right?
Yeah, to put all that dirty laundry out there. My book has some dirty laundry in it, I must say. When I first realized it was out there in October, that it was out there for people to read, I suddenly felt so exposed, you know?
But at the same time, probably felt liberated.
It was very freeing, yes. And what happened, about a month into recovery, I found a set of tapes in the back of my car that a biofeedback therapist had given me, Dr. Fink. The tapes were called Breakthrough Pain by Xunzing Young. And they were four recordings, a half hour each. And it was like Xunzing Young was sitting in the living room talking to me, and it was like he was saying, Sylvia, if you have severe pain, whether it's emotional or physical, you may have to become like a monk in a monastery and just learn how to meditate. And the miracle was, when I started listening to these four recordings, I, instead of escaping the pain as I had been, he taught me that I could relax and just move through the pain instead. Mm. And after just a few weeks of this, I felt this wide space open up inside me that was so comfortable. And it was at that point I decided that if it took my last breath on earth, I'll teach one other person how to meditate and find this peace and this comfort inside. Natural comfort is what it was. And it was just so enlightening, Steve, that I have continued on the process. I finally, you know, 2 years ago when I started writing the book, I didn't know what was going to be revealed to me. The miracle was, someone asked me once, how did all this come back to you, everything that happened to you over the years? And I told him it's just the way the mind works. Once I started the beginning, somehow the pieces just started to fall together. And putting the book together, finally, a couple years ago, just as I was writing this book, I realized that I wasn't really an alcoholic. I just couldn't self-medicate with it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I realized this, I got this lonely feeling inside, like, but I need to go to AA. I'm an alcoholic. And the little voice inside was arguing with me, but no, you're not, Sylvia. You just can't self-medicate. And I kept going to AA, and then finally, this only happened a couple months ago at my cherished women's AA meeting Wednesday night. Tina was chairing, and she mentioned the fact this meeting was for people in recovery from alcohol. And the light came on again, and I realized I don't belong there anymore. So I started a Chronic Pain Anonymous group locally. And this has just turned out wonderful. It's like I have a family again, you know.
Oh, that's wonderful.
It's not that
wonderful,
I've stopped
Sylvia.
Caring about my AA family. And I feel like I belong there in my heart. But I know I don't really belong there. And that my Chronic Pain Anonymous group, we've grown to about 7 people in the group now. And it's the same 12 steps. We're growing and learning by the same 12 steps.
Well, you have certainly learned so much to share with others, to help them. Like you say today, you still have the pain, but no longer suffer. I mean, what a great blessing.
Everyone suffers, though, Steve.
Yeah.
You know, we
what
you
a
know,
great
you
blessing.
Still have the suffering. That's human, isn't it?
Right. Well, we all do. Well,
yeah.
We're just about out of time, Sylvia. We want to help make sure everyone knows how to get your book. The title, Wheel, A Recovery from Chronic Pain and Discovery of New Energy, Sylvia Hawthorne Deppen. That's Deppen. Sylvia, tell us how to get your book.
You can get it through Balboa. You can get it through eBooks, Kindle. They Amazon all have them. A lot of the bookstores don't have them yet, but hopefully they'll be set in. They can be ordered through bookstores or gotten, like I said, online. And, yes, Steve, I wrote it because I want to help someone out there to find light in their life, to find recovery, to find some joy and peace.
Well, thank you, Sylvia, so much for joining us on Indie Book Publishing.
Thank you, Steve. It's been a pleasure.
And this interview has been brought to everyone by Balboa Press.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Get ready to laugh along with This Little Parent Stayed Home with Ellie Loprit. Friday evenings at 6, 5 Central on TogiNet.com. This is a truly realistic, no-nonsense, tell-it-like-it-is method that will have you laughing and crying, surviving while struggling, and hammering away at the hardships as you travel through the greatest journey of your life. Get empowered by joining thousands of other parents who have also decided to take a leap of faith into a double career with longer hours and half the pay simply because of the love they have for their children. Together, we are rebuilding a new economy that will support us rather than enslave us. Never again will we have to choose between raising our children and earning to provide for them. It won't be easy, but it will be worth it. For more on Allie and her success, check out her website, OurMilkMoney.com. So come get empowered with This Little Parent Stayed Home with Allie Loprit, Friday afternoons at 6, 5 Central on TogiNet.com.
People think I've made it. I'm popular. I seem happy all the time. I have great clothes and I'm involved in everything. But I have questions, doubts, and fears, just like every other teenager. That's why I'm glad for Teen Talk Radio, where it's all about choices.
Join us for Teen Talk Radio with Nicole Odell, Thursday nights at 10, 9 Central on TogiNet.com.
The choices we have to make that can alter the course of our lives. Life is too much pressure if we try to go it alone. I tune in to Teen Talk Radio with Nicole Odell every week to get reminded that I'm not alone. Nicole Odell is an expert on what happens in the lives of teenagers. Join her as she deals with topics like peer pressure, purity, drugs, alcohol, and many other things that might come up along the way. She writes books and speaks to people all over the place, but she says her favorite moments are when she can pull up a chair and chat with teens about what's important to us.
For more information on Nicole and her books, go to NicoleOdell.com. Then join us for Teen Talk Radio with Nicole Odell, Thursday nights at 10, 9 Central on TogiNet.com.
Teen Talk Radio, where it's all about choices.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The name of the book, this children's book, Tommy's Discovery, and the author is Cindy Amar, and Cindy joins us now on Indie Book Publishing, this interview brought to you by Balboa Press. Hello, Cindy.
Hello.
Tommy's Discovery. Everybody needs to have a little Tommy Turtle in their home. I guess you used to have a turtle, didn't you?
I did when I was about 8 years old.
So you remembered that well, and this is a storyline that you've had in your mind for a long, long time. We'll find out more about that. But just in general, Tommy's Discovery is the story of little Tommy Turtle, who is worried about what will happen to him when his parents die. Well, that's a pretty scary thing for a kid, isn't it?
It is, and often children do worry about that.
And you've worked with bereavement. You've been with a bereavement center in South Florida, so you've kind of been focused on that for quite a few years, too.
Right, right.
Well, tell us a little bit more about yourself, Cindy, and how this book idea came about.
Well, I was a teacher for a long, long time and also a guidance counselor in South Florida. And just as I was starting my career when I was 21, I got this idea for this book. I thought, oh, I'd like to make this a book one day about Tommy the Turtle. And time went on, and then about 8 years after I got the idea, I wrote down the words. I was sitting on the beach in Hawaii, and I sent it off to a couple publishers, but nothing really happened, and I was busy teaching and going through life. So I thought, okay, I'll have more time when I retire. And I met with Balboa Press, and they said, let's do the book.
Well, fantastic. So, of course, this book just really is holding on to a dream. It took you quite a few years, but here it is, and it's very beautifully illustrated, too. That's really the kind of the characters, the different animal friends of Tommy, everything really comes to life.
Right. I first thought that the company would supply an illustrator, but they said, no, you have to find your own. So I began asking questions and interviewing people, and the illustrator became Gonzalo Battaglia, who did a fabulous job, a lot of colors, and he is an art teacher in Miami.
So Tommy has this terrible dilemma. He's very worried about what will happen to him if he's all alone, and he goes searching for an answer.
Right. He goes and he asks several different animal friends if they would help him. And all the friends want to help him, but, you know, if you're a rabbit, you can't quite do the same kind of things that a turtle can do. So he doesn't initially find an answer as to who would help him.
So who are the different animals that he goes to that can't help him? What's their names and what are they?
Yes, we have Billy the Frog and Martha the Rabbit and Sally the Skunk, and Michael the Fish.
Well, Billy the Frog, he looks real interesting. I like the drawing of him. That was
they
good.
They all have clothes on and look really cute.
Then he meets a very wise unicorn.
Yes, Crystal the Unicorn, who's his buddy and kind of like an advisor and a listener, kind of like a counselor. And he tells her his problems, and she basically says, well, you know, it's great that your friends have been there to try to help, but keep searching for an answer. Don't give up. And you're going to, I think the answer is inside you.
And then that day, that very day, that event, tell us about what he sees.
He's walking along and he's still feeling a little bit sad. He hasn't found what he's looking for, and he looks down in a pond and sees his reflection. And he comes to realize that's the answer. It's great to have friends, it's great to have family, and he'll always have himself.
Have himself. Sometimes, especially little ones, don't kind of grasp that. Even adults don't grasp that sometimes.
That's true. That's true. That's why I believe in passing on that message of believe in yourself, because we always will have ourself.
And of course, children face a lot of these kinds of events in their lives. They can be very young when family may be passing on, and it could be a troubling time.
That's true. It happens that the statistic is that 1 in 5 children, by the time they reach high school, will have experienced a death of someone that they know. And that's pretty high. We don't talk a lot about death in the United States, but it is part of life, and it is something that happens.
And you think it's important, even at a young age, to talk with children about death?
I do. I believe in using the word that someone has died. Sometimes adults will say, "Oh, we lost someone," or and a child might think, "Well, let's go find them."
Mm-hmm.
So, including at the bereavement center, we believe in using vocabulary that is real and tells it like it is, and giving children comfort in finding solutions, I think, is powerful.
And, of course, when Tommy looks in the pond, sees himself, and begins to understand that he really has answers, but they're within him.
Correct. That's right.
That's a great message. Great message.
Thank you.
Tommy's Discovery, and the author is Cindy Amar. Cindy, any other thoughts you'd like to share with us?
Well, I love how Tommy never gave up, and I believe in being persistent in reaching a goal. This book, as we said, was a goal I've had for a long, long time, and I just felt it inside me, and I didn't give up.
Tommy's Discovery. Tell us how to get your book, Cindy.
One can buy it off Amazon.com. Or it is sold on Kindle. If one goes to bookstores, they can request it, and that's how you can find it.
Well, thank you so much for being with us on Indie Book Publishing.
Thank you.
And this interview has been brought to everyone by Balboa Press.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen. Join us again next week at noon Eastern as Steve interviews another great author.